Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, coming a year since the catastrophe in Kabul and the surrounding provinces. Bill Raggio, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, joins me. And Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute joins me to comment on where we are in the region. Afghanistan, the borderland between Afghanistan and Pakistan, and the new government in Pakistan. We begin, however, with a statement from the National Security Council. Says the National Security Council for the Biden administration, "We are focused on how we are on a stronger strategic footing now that the war is over. We are continuing to help people leave Afghanistan and resettle in the U.S. through Operation Allies Welcome. And we will continue to ensure that we will remain vigilant and are appropriately positioned to counter any terrorism threats." Bill, a very good evening to you. The Biden administration's op-ed in the Washington Post in these last hours about the Middle East and diplomacy in this last year remarkably did not speak to the facts that we have about Afghanistan and the condition of the country and the people. Famine, retreat, earthquake, out of money, out of time, and what you'd have to say are strained relations with the neighborhood. The comment that seemed most appropriate is, where are the reviews? Do you know, Bill, where the reviews are? The Defense Department's review, the CIA's department's review, the White House's Department of Review about what went wrong in August of 2021. Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yeah, so apparently there is some reviews going on in the background, but the indications are that the reviews themselves will be classified. So, I mean, we'll probably get, if we do get an assessment from the White House, from the intelligence agencies and the Defense Department, it's certainly dumbed down, and I don't suspect it'll be self-critical. This administration, I mean, it's comments that the war is over. The war isn't over in Afghanistan. America's involvement in Afghanistan is over. That conflict is still going on. There's fighting between the Taliban and National Resistance Front. There's other small groups that are operating. Al-Qaeda is metastasizing there. They've always been there. They're just reorganizing other terror groups. I just think this administration, you know, and the fact that this report should not be classified. For what reason should anything? We are out of Afghanistan. We are no longer there. There are no longer U.S. troops engaged there. So there's no threat to any Americans. Why this report would be classified is, and we know the answer, because they don't want the truth, the real truth of the failure of Afghanistan to come out.
The puzzle then going forward is what is to be done for the people of Afghanistan and for the American citizens, or the green cards, left behind. The Taliban is making odd presentations these days, and you feature one of them at the Long War Journal, which you keep with your colleagues. Taliban emir promises Afghanistan won't be a base for terrorism. That's the headline. Please help me understand, Bill, how a terrorist organization that routinely practices depravity is now promising that it's not going to be what it is.
Yeah, this has been the conundrum all along, right? The Obama administration tried to negotiate with the Taliban, walked away. The Trump administration negotiated with the Taliban and came up with that awful deal, which, by the way, included the Taliban claiming that they wouldn't allow the country to be used by terror groups. It is. We knew it then. We know it now. And then the Biden administration, you know, bought this hook, line, and sinker as well. The real question is how many people were fooled and how many people just said this in order to facilitate the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Neither are promising. One is cynical and the other one is an admission of stupidity. But the Taliban, the most important thing is the Taliban has made this claim for over two decades, just prior to the 4 months prior to the Al-Qaeda's bombings of the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. It's the Taliban assured U.S. officials, including Bill Richardson, who was there to negotiate with the Taliban, that Al-Qaeda wasn't a threat. Bin Laden wasn't a threat to the West. And then 4 months later, you get that. Then they made the promise again. You got 9/11. Then after, you know, over the last decade, the Taliban has said that they wouldn't shelter Al-Qaeda and things of that nature. And yet they have. We know because we've killed numerous Al-Qaeda operatives there, including members of its Shura, leaders who were responsible for external operations that'd be attacked against the West, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, this is the big lie by the Taliban. The Taliban has made for two and a half decades. And it's a lie that those in Washington who want to appease the Taliban by hook, line, and sinker. Again, it was the lie that was accepted in order to facilitate the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Because after all, the U.S. leaders can't make a sincere argument that leaving Afghanistan doesn't have consequences if the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are still allied and Al-Qaeda is still plotting attacks against the West there.
You take us to memory lane. April 1998, this a fact that is certified by the 9/11 Commission of almost two decades ago. The Taliban told an American diplomat in April 1998 that it didn't know where Osama bin Laden was. What was the result of that falsehood, Bill?
Yeah, first of all, the Taliban absolutely knew where Osama bin Laden was, and they knew what he was doing. The result of that was, again, the attacks, the Al-Qaeda plotted and executed the embassy bombing attacks on the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Hundreds dead, U.S. embassies destroyed. And that was a big boost for Al-Qaeda and its external operations. And then within three and a half years, you had the attacks on 9/11. I just cannot understand why people want to trust the Taliban when it has lied directly to U.S. officials for two and a half decades.
The Taliban is also telling falsehoods to India. I sent you, brought to your attention a lengthy piece we don't have time to go into, that the Indian government is now entertaining the Taliban as not exactly a partner, but someone to invest diplomacy in. And it seems that the same falsehoods are being passed to Delhi as they're being passed to Washington. Is this a larger story, Bill, about how diplomats have trusted the Taliban despite the fact that there's lies? In other words, that no amount of research can convince the diplomats that this is a poison?
Yeah, this is diplomacy run amok. It's diplomacy that fails to recognize the harsh realities about the Taliban and terror groups and other hostile and terrorist regimes. So, you know, the Indians, of all people, the Indians should know better. And apparently what the article states is that the Taliban will crack down on groups like Lashkar-e-Taiba and Jaish Mohammed. These are Pakistani terror groups as well as Al-Qaeda. The Taliban made the same claims to the United States that led to that horrific deal. You can't trust the Taliban here. The Indians really should know better. They need to stop listening to their diplomats on this issue and start, you know, understanding. And I know members of the Indian security forces and intelligence services know this. I just hope that the government isn't led by the nose by hopeful and naive diplomats.
We welcome our colleague Hussain Haqqani of the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, to comment on these strange events. Hussain, what Bill and I are discussing is how the Taliban is promising not to be a terrorist organization. It won't be a base for terrorism. At the same time, we have statements from the State Department that suggest that the Taliban is, if not trustworthy, someone to deal with. We have an article in the Foreign Affairs that I brought to our attention where the India government is entertaining, in some fashion, diplomatic relations with the Taliban. Can you help us understand why it is that the region wants to trust some organization that has been poisoned for 20 years? Good day to you, Hussain.
Good day. I don't think that anybody is willing to trust the Taliban yet, but they are all willing to engage with them based on the assumption that there is no alternative in Afghanistan right now. The opposition has collapsed or is too weak, and no one wants to support that opposition, because without support, no opposition in Afghanistan will be able to resist the Taliban and their ability to rule by force. So what everybody is trying to do is trying to figure out how do we engage with them. Now, unfortunately, I agree with Bill Rozier that in this process of engagement, the Taliban will not change, and they will take advantage of it, just like many other totalitarian regimes have done in history. It's a long pattern. People turn around and say, what can we do except engage with the Soviets? What can we do except engage with the Chinese? And now what can we do except engage with the Taliban? And yet the regime does not change. So basically, it's back to the drawing board for all of us to think of new ways in which you can deal with someone, but at the same time, not give up on trying to change them. And in case of the Taliban, not give up on protecting yourself from the harm and the potential damage that is going to come from the resurgence of various terrorist groups inside Afghanistan.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador to the U.S. from Pakistan. Bill Rozier, the senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal. When we come back, there's lots of news in Pakistan, which, along with Afghanistan, does not seem to be a focus or a great concern of the Biden administration as the president begins his embassy to the Middle East. It is, however, where the trouble started more than 25 years ago, and there's reason to believe it could start there again momentarily. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.